How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicago's immigrant community is reeling after Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents detained at least 10 people in the South Loop Wednesday afternoon. ICE agents made the arrest at 2245 South Michigan Avenue, where immigrants had shown up for routine immigration appointments after receiving text messages from the government. Video collected by the Chicago Sun-Times shows a scene that was chaotic at times, with chanting protesters confronting ICE agents in masks who pushed some people in the crowd. Three Chicago alderpersons who were there joined us on the program to recount the raid and discuss what this means for our immigrant communities all across the city. With us was 25th Ward Alderman Byron Sincho Lopez, 33rd Ward Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez, and 35th Ward Alderman Anthony Quezada. We began with what happened exactly, and they filled us in on what brought them there initially. Alderman Rodriguez Sanchez went first.
Well, all of us are part of rapid response networks that we have helped develop in our communities in order to protect our people. So as soon as something like this happens, we're going to know pretty quickly that we need to show up.
So this is pretty much a system that's been set up for, it's almost like everybody gets a text blast and whoever's around will respond to.
Yeah, and we have several different ones across the city. So, you know, the Southwest side has a rapid response network. We have one in the Northwest side. And we are in collaboration with ICER to help confirm any sightings of ICE around our community. So we mobilize constantly, and we have hundreds of volunteers that are always available to be able to confirm ICE presence in our communities.
So let's talk about yesterday afternoon. Describe the scene when you first arrived.
Sure. When we first arrived, we saw a number of our community members who were out there trying to figure out what was going on. A lot of people who were there were family members of people who were detained, and they were just trying to figure out. They had not been in contact with their loved one for a couple hours. We also saw members of the Chicago Police Department blocking some of the driveways to the building that were inside the building. And as the alder people, we were very concerned as to what the Chicago Police Department was doing there. We wanted to make sure that, you know, our officers were in compliance with our sanctuary laws. And so we checked in with our advocates to figure out what had been going on in that situation and what the police were doing. And so we started asking questions to the police officers, to the commander on site, to figure out what they were doing.
So it started off as sort of getting information, but Alderman Quezada, what happened next? I mean, I think we've all seen these videos that have been posted online.
Mm-hmm. So after confirming, what we were told was that police were responding to a police distress call that happened inside the building. We were trying to figure out, was that call made by a Chicago police officer? Was that call made by an immigration official? We're still not clear. We're working to get those answers, and we're asking, you know, the police superintendent that we've been in communication with to make sure that we're getting all that information. But shortly after the police found out that there was actually no threat, that there was no police officers in distress, and I would actually argue the people who were in distress were our community members, the children who were trying to find their mothers. Those are the people in distress. So after the police left the scene, ICE officials or HSI agents came into the picture in full force. There were a number of unmarked vans that attempted to come into the driveway of this building. And that is when Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez, Cook County Commissioner Jessica Vasquez, and myself engaged in our First Amendment rights, and we engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience to block the driveway because we were there in defense and in protection and love and solidarity for our community members. Shortly after, the HSI agents realized that they couldn't get inside the driveway. They sped around to the back where Alderman Sixto Lopez was at and identified the agents back there. But then a number, an armada of agents, about three dozen agents, came around the building and then secured the facility, secured the driveway, created a pathway for agents to grab the detained individuals and bring them into the vans. And it was one of the most distressing situations I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, well, Alderman Sixto Lopez, you were there, you know, you were up there close in front. What were you seeing? What were you experiencing at the time?
Well, when we saw family members who had their loved ones detained without warrant, without an attorney, I mean, they were telling the attorneys that they could not be in the facility, and Alderman Quesada went inside with a the daughter of one of the people detained, no explanations, no warrant, no reason why these people have been detained. And as all this is unfolding, what we saw are masked individuals that stumble into these in the crowd of family members who are already in pain, without identifying themselves, without warrant. And they start taking people out of the facility, handcuffed. Imagine what it is. We had a elementary student whose graduation was the same day. And now he's seen his mother being detained. We saw another family who were crying because they said, look, there's a 10-year-old child. There's no family other than the mother. What is happening? Attorneys confused, attorneys not being able to verify a warrant. I mean, what we are normalizing, it is not only shameful, it's chilling, it's dystopian. We've seen it in Minneapolis, we've seen it in other cities, but here in Chicago, what I tell you that we saw right in front of our eyes how constitutional and human rights are violated when attorneys are being turned down because the federal government that is acting in an authoritarian way, is basically denying due process to meet a quota. And these individuals, these masked individuals, this is what is scary too, and I think that this should not concern only the immigrant community. These masked individuals that come in without identifying themselves, without warrants, are getting paid bonuses. This new Senate bill that they call beautiful, this is a horrific thing by even their own boss, Elon Musk. It is a bill that will increase bonuses for this $1 billion, $42,000 per individual to conduct these operations. Billions of dollars to pay these kind of facilities, to pay concentration camps to separate families as we cut Medicare, Social Security, food stamps for the poor, and give benefits and cuts to the super rich. This concerns us all.
And I just want to say we, WBEZ, did receive a statement from ICE. ICE said that the people detained had, quote, executable final orders of removal by an immigration judge and had not complied with that order, end quote. I mean, what's your response to that? What do we know about who was
detained? They were actually complying. They were told to show up.
That's right.
And they complied. And what we are seeing all across the country is people complying, people trying to do things the legal way and being punished for it. And that is incredibly worrisome because now immigrants cannot trust that the process that they have been offered is going to be followed. It's a huge, huge problem. And I do want to say that we have been trying to talk about this in city council. Alderman Sixto Lopez introduced a resolution to talk about free speech and due process. And in the context of Mahmoud Khalil, we have seen a lot of people disappear from this country. We just saw that of the 238 people that were transported to El Salvador that were kidnapped, the vast majority of them didn't have criminal record. The only record that they had was just being here illegally. It was immigration. So I think it's very important that in city council we start taking this seriously. I did have a hearing on free speech and due process, and I was not able to report on the floor of City Council. My colleague Raymond Lopez decided that he wanted to get my comments stricken from the record, and I was called out of order. And at the same time that we're seeing this parliamentary process discussions in City Council, we see an authoritarian government that is doing whatever they want. They don't respect the law. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Nobody has due process right now. And we have to be very clear that this is something that we need to talk about and that we have to prepare ourselves for.
And just to add to that as well, that was an operation of entrapment. Mm-hmm. They entrapped people who were following their process. They were following the legal guidelines. They were there with their attorneys. So I think that they're trying to create the conditions for a catch-22 for our community members. Mm-hmm. They're trying to entrap law-abiding people, people who are following the process, but now they're striking fear into people so that, you know, possibly it would create the conditions where somebody doesn't feel safe appearing at their next case or their next check-in, whatever it may be, and then they'll use that as justification to arrest them. They have a clear operation. They want to come after all of our people, and we have to resist them. That's why we have to organize, we have to educate, and we have to make sure that people know that they have people standing beside them in solidarity.
And Alderman Quezada, you are getting to a point here that I feel like a lot of community members are feeling. What should they do? What do you suggest people do when they get a text message like that? Do they comply or risk not complying?
Of course, that's a personal decision that person has to make with their legal representative, their family, and their community members. And I think that's why we have to make sure that we're publicizing all of the education necessary, all of the legal resources and services that are available, connecting people to organizations like the Illinois Coalition of Immigrant and Refugee Rights or Organized Communities Against Deportations. But then also for the rest of us, for the broader populace of people in our communities, we need to organize. We need to educate and we need to build solidarity with people in our neighborhoods, people in our workplaces, people in our schools. We urge people to join a rapid response network. We urge people to join a local independent political organization so that they can take action. We have to raise this awareness. We have to raise the moral outcry that there is right now and make sure that we're instilling courage and confidence in these moments.
We have, as I said before, we have multiple rapid response networks. I think people definitely need to support the work that ICER is doing, that OCAT is doing, the Resurrection Project. There's multiple organizations across the city that are doing this work.
Right.
If somebody gets a text, they should absolutely call the hotline for the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant Refugee Rights. And the number is 855-435-7693. They should absolutely report it so that they can get some advice on how to proceed.
Can I add one thing? Because I think, you know, absolutely the people coming together. And I want to just add into the role of elected officials. Mm-hmm. I am grateful that our colleagues came in, especially Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez, Alderman Quezada, who came in fast to support his efforts.
And Alderwoman Jessie Fuentes.
And Alderwoman Fuentes and the seven, I think there were several other persons. So, but I think that the silence that we see in other elected officials, even to this moment, I'm glad Mayor Johnson has condemned this, right? I do think that we need to have a conversation with Governor Pritzker, with our Senate representatives, because as we saw the number of police officers that were deployed, I do think that we have a responsibility also to demand that there is a warrant issued, because if there's not a judge or an order, and now we're disputing, was there a warrant, was not a warrant, the warrants can, and this is a record reported by multiple sources that ICE produces warrants after the fact. That is unacceptable. We need to make sure that our authorities locally demand these warrants to begin with. The police department can also do that. The other thing that I'm concerned about is masked individuals that are connected to extremist groups. These individuals that are being deputized, that were pardoned, that were insurrectionists just not too long ago, and now they are terrorizing our streets. I do think that every public official, every law enforcement has to identify themselves. Wearing masks, not identifying themselves, and then kidnapping people inside a building, that is unacceptable. So I urge Senator Duckworth, Senator Durbin, I am glad Congresswoman Delia Ramirez has explained in detail what this cannot be normalized. I'm still waiting on Governor Pritzker, Senator Duckworth, Durbin, and those who want to fill those positions. Their silence is complicity. We need to lead by example so that the people on the ground can also feel the courage and that their voices are heard.
And these masked individuals, they did have ICE badges on. They had clothing that said they were from ICE.
HSI.
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 Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Alderman Sancho Lopez, you know, you mentioned the work of lawmakers kind of making their presence known at this point. What can local lawmakers do? You know, you're calling for an emergency city council meeting to discuss the situation. What's the status of that, and what at the local level can be done?
Look, I think at the local level, like I said, I think we cannot be complicit or look the other way when people are being kidnapped without a warrant. The Constitution said so. They have to produce warrants, and there's not enough to say on a statement after 15 people get abducted to say, well, these were where are they? Why attorneys are not be able to verify this? That is the Constitution we got to protect. And here in our state, that's what I think is important, that the governor and the mayor, we have seen, we're still waiting for a vote to make sure that Proud Boys, right, do not have a role in city government, state government. But farther than that, when people commit the atrocities, the insurrection that happened, and they are convicted for crimes, these are terrorist organizations. They should not be receiving any funding from the government. No funding. So I do think in our state, we got these are classified by the FBI themselves as terrorist organizations. Why are we allowing them and normalizing these to be deployed? Like, we saw the consequences. Elected officials throw a shovel in the ground, people being stepped on, rights being violated. This cannot be normalized. So I urge our local officials, because what we're saying right now is that people are afraid to go to court, the due process. They say, well, do it the right way. Then what path are we providing for people? We are, and now worse, with these quotas, we're basically these entrapments that are creating on people, the fear, the separation of family. To me, we got to follow the money. We got to see how these contracts, this even company, Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez said in the press conference, Gio, how these contracts are awarded, and they're complicit in these all these illegal actions.
I just want to take a moment and go back to the scene from yesterday and listen to some of the folks who were there. First, we have Antonio Gutierrez from the group Organized Communities Against Deportations, or OCAD, talking about one person who was detained. And then we'll hear from a friend of a man, Carlos Pineda, who was reportedly detained as well.
She was told to come today. No set time, no reason as to why. We also have learned that other people in Chicago that are on the ISAP program got the same message on Monday, being told the same thing. We are now in contact with family members of other individuals that are in fact physically detained at this building right now.
Just a very nice person and always been very respectful. So it's tough to see that and hear other stories that it's not just criminals. And I think that's a terrible angle that they're trying to pull.
I mean, what's your reaction to hearing these stories from yesterday? And are there any updates to what happened to the detained folks?
The woman that Antonio is talking about there is from my community. She's a neighbor of ours in Albany Park. She has lived in Albany Park for over a decade and is a beloved organizer. So it is absolutely heartbreaking to lose someone in the community that we know that brings so much value to our community, that makes our community better, right? Carlos Pineda, we had a chance to be with him yesterday, and you know, he was talking about the mother of his girlfriend that was detained. It was absolutely tragic. It was horrific. It was violent. It was chaotic. And we shouldn't allow that to happen in our communities. If we said that we were going to protect the Constitution, and every elected official does that at every level, we promise that we are going to uphold the Constitution, it needs to look like it, right? Like, we actually need to push as hard as we can with all the tools that we have to ensure that this doesn't continue to happen.
Absolutely.
Do we know anything about the status of the detained people, whether they were they're still detained or moved somewhere?
They're still detained. I mean, we are still hearing from attorneys that are trying to make sure that the warrants have never been verified. We cannot detain people without a due process. It's incredible what's happening. So a lot of attorneys are still to this day, we're still calling back. This issue is going to continue. These quotas are creating detentions without warrants. They already said that they don't care about the warrants. So the people who are being detained right now illegally, we're still trying to find them. They should be released. There's no judge of an order. They have not been verified with their attorneys. These people should be, they, it is incredible that someone went to renew a work permit and now they were separated for a 10-year-old daughter or a family member is unconscionable. This reminds us was, you know, these bounty hunters, these things in the past. This is atrocious. And I think that what we need to do is to defend the Constitution. It is as elected officials to start by not being silent. I really urge every level of government should be appalled, should condemn, and they should demand that they should release, they have the words, release them so that we can see them. And I do think that here in our state, we should demand that, as I saw how many the police officers that showed up and that saw everything that was going on, we do have a responsibility to demand that those warrants are issued. And when there's no warrant, people should not be detained. That will create the conditions. Next time will be our LGBTQ community or Muslim community or simply people who just dissent from what's happening in our country. We cannot normalize that.
And I will mention that Mayor Johnson also gave a statement, and he said, Chicagoans have the right to protest the separation of family members by federal immigration enforcement. Federal agents should never be allowed to come into our city and assault elected officials or any Chicagoan. All residents have the right to due process under the Constitution. Any action to the contrary is unconscionable. You mentioned yesterday the presence of Chicago police officers there, and there is a statement from CPD as well saying that officers arrived without knowledge of immigration enforcement occurring at the location. CPD spoke with individuals inside of a building at the location as well as the large crowd gathered outside. CPD was on site to ensure the safety of all involved, including those exercising their First Amendment rights, and that they were in compliance with the Welcoming Cities Ordinance. I mean, what was your reaction to just seeing their presence there on the scene?
I think it was clearly very concerning. We wanted to figure out exactly what was happening, and I'm thankful that the police department submitted, you know, that statement, and that's why I look forward to their full compliance and cooperation as we ask more questions and get more information. I think we need to submit a FOIA request, look at the phone call that came in. Mm-hmm. We want to know all the resources that were used by the police department. You know, police officers and commanders and, you know, a deputy chief were inside the building as the operation was being conducted. We want to know what kind of communication that they had, what kind of cooperation that they had. Because, again, they received a call about police in distress. There was nothing distressful about the situation there. There weren't pitchforks. There weren't torches. There were children crying looking for their mothers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I appreciate that the Chicago Police Department submitted that statement, but who they need to answer to is to the people of Chicago. We have passed sanctuary laws. We have sanctuary laws in the books, and the people of Chicago want to know that they can trust their police department to not be cooperating with ICE and federal agents on immigration cases. So we want there to be full cooperation, full collaboration, and full transparency as we understand the policies that are in place and, you know, responsibly legislating what policies need to change, if any.
Well, I mean, this may have been arguably the most intense sort of situation that we've seen recently amongst residents in the city and ICE agents. As city lawmakers, what will you be looking out for? What will you be doing in the coming weeks?
Well, I think that we need to strengthen our Central City Ordinance. I think unlike colleagues like Alderman Lopez, Alderman Tavares, who were looking to undermine this, I do think that people in the city of Chicago, I think now understand why this is important to protect, because we cannot make the assumption that, unfortunately, the federal government is going to respect our rights. We had a campaign about knowing your rights, but now we need to make sure, again, Alderman Quesada mentioned, I think that we are within our right here in our state and our city, our laws mandate, to mandate that the police department ask for a warrant. We cannot allow people just to be detained for no reason. So there are things that we as legislators can do to make sure that we close those loopholes. The number of police officers that were deployed and the level of inhumanity that we saw, there's a matter of call for action. So absolutely, we're going to look into ways to strengthen our legislation. I call again publicly Governor Pritzker as well, the state and city. We are welcoming state. We're a sanctuary city. We must act as such. What we saw yesterday is illegal, is unconstitutional, is scary, and should never be allowed again.
We also introduced another resolution to speak about due process free speech in the context of immigration, and we have introduced that to the Committee on Immigrant and Refugee Rights. So we will be discussing that, and we are really hoping that we can gather officials at every level and experts that can come and speak to how to better approach this.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we'll leave it there, but we'll definitely be keeping tabs on that. We've been speaking with three city lawmakers, Alderman Byron Cintro Lopez and Anthony Quezada, and Alderwoman Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez. All three were present when immigration officials detained at least 10 people in the South Loop yesterday. We've been hearing about what happened and what steps they're taking to protect the rights of their constituents. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Dan Tucker, Ari Mejia, and Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan and mixed by Ari. With so much going on in Chicago and beyond, Reset works to stay present so we can bring you the latest. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or visit us at wbez.org/reset to stay connected. I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.